The discovery of Buckminster Fullerene. In 1985, virtually all school chemistry textbooks became out of date overnight. The reason for this was because all of these textbooks stated that there were two allotropes of carbon, diamond and graphite. Allotropes are forms of the same element that differ in the way their atoms are arranged. Diamond and graphite are classic examples of allotropy. In diamond, the carbon atoms are arranged tetrahedrally, and in graphite, they form two-dimensional layers of interlinking hexagons. In 1985, the discovery of the third allotrope was announced, in which the atoms form C60 molecules in the shape of a football. This led to the award of the 1996 Nobel Prize in Chemistry to Harry Kroto of Sussex University, now Sir Harry, Robert Curl and Richard Smalley, who were both of Rice University in Houston, USA. Harry Kroto started his academic career with an interest in organic chemistry, but as he learnt more about spectroscopy, he began to focus his attention on quantum chemistry. He developed a particular interest in astrochemistry, and in the 1970s, Kroto launched a research project to look for carbon chain molecules in interstellar space. The molecules found in space could be identified by comparing the signals in the microwave spectra to signals of known compounds in the laboratory. Kroto was curious about finding polyenes, molecules with several carbon-carbon triple bonds, and early studies detected molecules such as cyanoacetylene and cyanobutadiene. Polyenes were notoriously difficult to make by conventional means, and in trying to explain the existence of these interstellar molecules led to the discovery of C60. In 1984, Kroto began a collaboration with Smalley and Curl in Houston, who had apparatus for laser spectroscopy called AP2. This used a laser to blast clusters of atoms off solid targets and then led the clusters into a mass spectrometer where their relative molecular masses could be measured. Kroto suggested that they could simulate the carbon chemistry in the atmosphere of a carbon star. He hoped that if a graphite target was used, small sections of the graphite layers might rearrange themselves into polyenes whose spectra could then be measured. Clusters of carbon atoms were indeed formed, and unexpectedly, large peaks were found in the mass spectra, with masses corresponding to C60 and, to a lesser extent, C70. These peaks always appeared together, and Kroto started to refer to them as the Lone Ranger and Tonto. But why were these molecules so stable? Sheets of graphite, in which the carbon atoms are arranged in hexagons, would be expected to be very unstable because they have so many dangling bonds with unpaired electrons at the edges. Inspired by the geodesic dome structures made up of hexagons designed by the architect Richard Buckminster Fuller, the team began to consider the possibility that a sheet of graphite hexagons might curl up into a spherical shape so that all the dangling bonds could link up. However, work with crude paper molecular models showed that this was impossible if all the atoms were linked in hexagons. Kroto recalled a spherical star dome made of cardboard shapes that he built for his children and believed that it contained pentagons. This was a vital clue. More late-night work with the paper models showed that a spherical shape could be made with 20 hexagons and 12 pentagons. A quick bond count showed that this structure was chemically reasonable, where each carbon atom was forming four covalent bonds, one double and two single. Having made the model, the team did not know what the geometric shape was, and the story goes that a phone call to the chairman of the Rice University Mathematics Department for advice elicited the reply, "What you got there, boys, is a soccer ball." However, Kroto remembers a less laconic reply. "We were sitting in Rick Smalley's office. We were extremely high, on a roll at the time, as you might imagine, only just recovering from the realisation of what the bloody thing might be. Jim Heath, a student at Smalley's, and I, and almost certainly Sean O'Brien, another student at Smalley's, and probably Bob Curl were there too. Rick was definitely not there at the time, and that is why Jim was sitting in Rick's chair at Rick's desk when the phone rang. Jim answered it, and then a sort of stunned expression came across his face, and Jim said, 'It's soccer ball.' Or he might have said, 'He says, it's soccer ball.' I'm pretty sure he didn't say, 'It's a soccer ball.'" This appeared to be a return call from the mathematician that Rick must have called earlier in the day to ask what the structure might be. At this stage, the soccer ball structure and a similar rugby ball structure for C70 was no more than inspired speculation. Confirmation had to wait until enough C60, now christened Buckminster Fullerene, Buckminster after the architect, and Ene because of the double bond nature within the molecule, or a buckyball, as it is also known, could be made for further analysis. This included ultraviolet and visible, infrared, and carbon-13 NMR spectra to be measured, as well as X-ray diffraction studies. APTU produced only minute amounts of molecules at a time. Theorists predicted that a soccer ball structure should have just four lines in its IR spectrum at specific wavelengths, and that its carbon NMR spectrum should just have one line because all of the carbon atoms are chemically equivalent. A different approach was used to produce enough Buckminster fullerene for these analyses. Two graphite rods inside of a bell jar containing an inert gas at low pressure were connected to an electrical supply, and an electrical arc formed between the two electrodes. One experimenter described these apparatus as a battery and a pencil. This produced a soot, which contained about 1% of a mixture of C60 and C70. These could be separated from the rest of the soot by sublimation or by extracting it into benzene, in which the soot was insoluble, and separation by chromatography. At Sussex, Croteau and his student Jonathan Hare, the presenter of the Open University TV programmes Rough Science and Hollywood Science, together with Roger Taylor and Abdul Sada, were the first to measure the single-line carbon-13 NMR spectrum. Croteau called it the one-line proof. Wolfgang Kratzmer and Donald Huffman, working at the Max Planck Institute for Nuclear Physics in Germany and in Arizona State University, extracted the molecule and measured its X-ray pattern just ahead of the Sussex team, and measured the IR and UV visible spectra. Both events occurred in 1990. Incidentally, Kratzmer and Huffman had observed the UV visible spectrum some years earlier, but without realising its significance. This is a much simplified account, both in detail of the actual experiments and the number of people, and indeed research teams, working on Buckminster fullerene. The 1996 Nobel lectures of the three laureates are available on the official website of the Nobel Prizes. Unfortunately, Rick Smalley died in November 2005 after a long fight with leukemia, but he will be remembered for his role in the discovery of the buckyball and his contributions to the field of nanotechnology.